Welcome to Faith in Corinth. This podcast is an extension of the Central Church located at 293 County Road 218 in Corinth, Mississippi. We hope and trust today's broadcast will bring you hope, encouragement, and insight from God's Word. And we ask you to like and share this podcast with those to whom you believe it will benefit. Again, thank you for joining us. Now, let's get into today's podcast. Amen, amen, amen. I want to say that we're thankful for the opportunity to go to General Conference in St. Louis. And it is reaffirming and good to know that when you go to places like that, you hear common themes there that I've been preaching here. Makes me feel like I know the same God that they know. And he's not just speaking to our church. I think he's speaking to his church. One of the themes that was spoken of in one of the sessions I attended was about courage. I thought, well, that sounds familiar. And then Brother Bernard on Thursday night, who is our general superintendent, he spoke about how to get more power. He said the way to get more power is through more humility. Less of me, more of him. I thought, you know, that sounds very familiar for our church this year too. So it is very good to know that I think we're on the same wavelength of what God is speaking to his bride. Amen. And I don't claim to think that the UPC alone is the bride of Christ, but I think we are part of that bride. I think any church that preaches the gospel, the message of salvation, the oneness of the Godhead, holiness on the inside and outside, that's who I want to associate with. I don't associate with labels. I don't care if you're WPF, PAW, UPC, XYZ, AMF, ALJC. I almost forgot them. Almost like Jesus Christ. No, just kidding. It doesn't matter to me what label you wear. I'm going to fellowship those of like precious faith. Amen. Praise God. And I'll be honest with you, I'm going to fellowship with those that are not of like precious faith in the efforts and the hopes to win them. Amen. Matter of fact, I've been doing that over the last month or so. Praise God. I want to walk through every, God spoke to us a few weeks ago that there is an effectual door that's open to us. And I believed it when I preached it, and I told God, I don't want to just hear the mind of God. I want to act upon the mind of God. So, Lord, I'm making myself available. You want me to walk through this door? I'll walk through that door. I'm all about wanting to get souls to heaven. And that should be the heartbeat of his bride. Amen. I want to turn your attention to the book of Matthew, chapter number 16. We'll begin reading in verse number 13. And I don't want you to show the title of the lesson tonight until I tell you to, please. Matthew chapter number 16, starting in verse number 13, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets." He saith unto them, he made it personal, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee, thou art Peter. And upon this rock," what rock? The rock of revelation. The rock of revelation, knowing who Jesus is. "Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." He said, upon this rock I'm going to build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. "And I will give unto thee, Simon Peter, the keys to the kingdom of heaven." Here's the keys, Simon Peter. In other words, you're going to preach the message on the day of Pentecost this New Testament plan of salvation. And what did Simon Peter preach? He preached exactly what Jesus told him to preach in Luke chapter number 24. Repent, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. I would recommend to you, if you've not heard Brother Jones's message from General Conference on Wednesday night, you would do yourself good to listen to that message. My, what a word. Matter of fact, all the messages were outstanding. Every one of them were outstanding. Nonetheless, I'm giving you the keys to the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. I go back again briefly to verse number, let me find it, 18, verse number 18. I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. You can be seated. Just hold off for just a moment. When you think of the word church, what words come to mind? Peace, love, refuge. I'm hearing something, Brother Hilton. Salvation, community, fellowship. Some of the words I figured some would say, some I didn't anticipate, but it's all good. But a lot of times when the word church is mentioned, we often think of building, a sanctuary, service times. But the reality is the word church is not defined as such. Church is not brick and mortar. The Greek word for the word church in the New Testament is ecclesia. I've been practicing on this all day long. Ecclesia, that's it. Ecclesia, which means the called out ones. I submit to you today that we are the church. Now you can display it. We are the church. We are the called out ones. At least three times Paul had to remind the church in Corinth who they were. In 1 Corinthians 3 and 16 says, know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. In 1 Corinthians 6 and 19 says, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have heard of God, and ye are not your own. And then in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse number 16 says, and what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. So at least three times in Paul's writings to the Corinthian church, he reminds them of this fact that you are the church. And I have come with the same voice to preach to the church in Corinth again. We are the church. This, as much as we appreciate it, and as much as we love it, and as much as we honor this building and the other building, this is not the church. Everybody point at yourself. You, if you have been baptized in Jesus' name, filled with the Holy Ghost, you are the church, because you have the Spirit of God living on the inside of you. With that being said, do these buildings serve a purpose? And I would say these buildings do serve a purpose. Let me take you to Psalm chapter number 87 and verse number 2. The Bible said, the Lord loveth the gates of Zion more than the dwellings of Jacob. And what he is saying here is that the gates of Zion, which is a gathering place, it was a place that when they gathered together, it was at the gates, and that's where they conducted business, but it was also a place of gathering. But he said, He loves the gates of Zion more than the dwellings of Jacob, which is talking about quiet abode or private devotions. God loves and appreciates our private devotion, that I don't have to be at church to have a time of prayer, to think about God, to read His Word, to become familiar with the Word. I can also do that at home. He said, but He really loves, amen, the gates of Zion or the gathering place. I submit to you today that it is imperative that every believer have a place of gathering when we join with those of like precious faith and we sharpen each other. We iron sharpeneth iron. Amen. We discuss the Word of God. We have good fellowship. We pray for one another. We edify one another or build one another up. And we do not take the time or opportunity to tear each other down. Amen. That's why the gathering together in the house of God is very, very important. Amen. I submit to you that people should in this place, in God's house, that should be found peace and forgiveness and love, healing, salvation, joy, and these other words that were used to describe what we can find in this house. But I would submit to you what they find here should be found in us individually. We are not the one who gives salvation, but we can point them to salvation. We are not the one who can forgive sins, but we can point them to the ones that can forgive sins. However, they should find forgiveness in us. They should find mercy in us. They should find patience in us. They should find love in us. Why? Because what God represents and His nature and attributes should not be limited to the four walls of this house. They should be found in each and every one of us. Why? Because we are, in all reality, the church. We take church with us to the workplace. We take church to the grocery store. Why? Because we are the church. Amen. We point people to Jesus here, but we are making an intentional effort, or at least we should be making an intentional effort of pointing people to Jesus outside of this building. When they come here, they're not just going to hear about how to become a better me. Amen. And while some of these subjects are very important and necessary, it's not just about how to find a better me. When they come here, our songs are going to be lifting up Jesus. We're going to be singing about the blood. We're going to be singing about the power of the Holy Ghost. We're going to be singing about the resurrected Savior. In our preaching, it's not going to be about us, our talents, our abilities. It's not about the preacher. When they come here, we're going to be pointing them to a Savior whose name is Jesus. But if we're going to do that here, we ought to be making sure we're doing that out there. That everywhere we go, we are pointing souls to Jesus. Can you say amen? Praise God. So it is the desire of our God, not just to have a house, but it's His desire to have a house that is full. It is God's desire not to just have a house, but it's His desire to have the house full. And I understand, as I'm preaching, you cannot contain God within the four walls of this church, but this place does represent to a lost world where God can be found. And I submit to you that we should never be satisfied with us 80 and no more. And if you could get everybody here for one service, about 100 and no more. We should not be satisfied nor content with that. Because here's the heartbeat of the Lord found in Luke chapter number 14, starting in verse number 16. And He said unto them, a certain man, He uses a parable, a certain man made a great supper and bade many. And He sent His servant out, or He sent His servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. Matter of fact, I'm going to stop and This ain't in my notes, but I'm going to say it right here. We need to make sure that before they get here, we got things ready. That's why it's important to have smiling people. Thank you to the Yanezes and those that help operate or stand at the door. If you're not going to be smiling, stand at the door, get somewhere else, find a corner somewhere. Or find the altar and pray through so that you can smile. But when people come, I don't care if they're a 20-time visitor, a first-time visitor, or somebody that comes every service. When they walk through the doors of this church, they need to be greeted with a smile. We don't know what hell they're going through. We don't know what pain they're suffering through right now. And a simple smile from somebody that shows love and appreciation for them making their way to the house of God can mean more to them than anything else. So we got to make sure we make things ready for them when they come. That's why we don't wait till we get up here in 5 minutes before church or in the middle of service. Well, Sister Sally, you got a song tonight. And she looks her little phone, her little song book, and she picks out something she ain't practiced or sang in 3 years. And says, well, I'm just going to try this. And y'all pray that don't listen to the words or don't listen to the singing. That's unprepared. That's unprepared. If they come here and we ain't paid the electricity bill, you know what that means? We are unprepared. If they come here and we are not prayed up and got faith and belief and preaching the word, that means we are unprepared. So when they come, we need to make sure. I didn't even see that this morning, but today when I was doing my notes, but thank God for it. We need to make sure we are ready, not just the singers and musicians or those that greet you at the door or teachers. Everybody needs to make sure you're ready. You can't fill yourself with flesh and come into the presence of God and think you're just going to snap out of it like that. If you ain't prayed all week, if you ain't read your Bible all week, you're unprepared. If you don't pray throughout the week, and the preacher gets up here and talks about spiritual things, it's foreign to you. You know why? Because you ain't been spiritual all week. And you think you can just mosey on into the house of God, 293 County Road 218, because the music's good and the preaching's good and the teachers are good and we got good people there. So we just going to mosey in on church, ain't prayed a lick, ain't read our Bible, done nothing to cultivate a moving of God, and just think we're going to have a move of God. It's not going to happen that way. You're not going to have a move of God by doing nothing. You got to prepare yourself. Well, come on, somebody. We've got to prepare ourselves for what God wants to do. We cannot be satisfied with just going through the motions and just, well, I'll just try to wing it tonight. We don't need preachers winging it. We don't need teachers winging it. You wouldn't think very highly of me if I just got up here and said, well, I found something that I preached 90 years ago and I'm just going to pray and hope it blesses somebody tonight. You wouldn't have any respect for me, and I wouldn't want you to have any respect for me. But I'm going to tell you what I've been doing this afternoon after I left the hospital. I got in my office and I've been feeling the direction I'm in right now, and started putting notes down and writing things down and praying about it and just listening to the voice of the Spirit and looking through the Word of God. You know what I was doing? I was getting prepared to come to teach tonight. But it didn't start just a few hours ago or after I left the hospital. Brother, I'm going to tell you, when Sunday morning ends, I already start thinking about Wednesday night. And when Wednesday night ends, I'm already thinking about Sunday. Brother, this is something that lives on me. It breathes through me. I pray about it. I think about it. It's on my mind many hours throughout the day. Why? Because I know I am going to be feeding the flock of God. And when they gather together, I don't want to just lay out some old slop for you. Some old dry, crusty bread that had been sitting in the pantry for 100 years and expect it to feed it to God's flock. God's not satisfied in that, and his sheep are not going to be satisfied with it. We've got to make sure as a body we are ready when they come. That's why we turn the baptistry on Saturday's night, because we are anticipating somebody's going to get baptized today. Well, Brother Harmon, how much electricity? I don't care how much electricity it costs. I don't care how often we got to fill up the baptistry. When they come to be baptized, I want to be ready for them to be baptized. I don't want them walking in, the water be about that deep, and thinking we're going to baptize somebody, or got mold or algae growing all in it. And it's been that way before, but we've tried to stop that. I don't want to have to dig through, separate the algae and bugs and everything else that can get in there. We got to be ready. That's why when we come to church, we need to come ready. I'll be somebody's going to be touched today. I'll be somebody that's going to receive the Holy Ghost today. And we need more people that will start vocalizing that and praying that and really believing that before you get to church. I'll be somebody that's going to get the Holy Ghost today. It would blow your mind if you started thinking how many people either occasionally or regularly attend our services that need to be baptized in Jesus' name. You know what? You need to start getting ready for that. By start speaking, God, I believe so-and-so is going to get baptized today. I believe so-and-so is going to get baptized today. I believe so-and-so is going to receive the Holy Ghost today. God, we got somebody in our church that's sick. I believe they're going to receive the Holy Ghost today or get healed in Jesus' name. God, we got people that are straying, that are growing cold. I believe a fire is going to be set up in their bones today and something's going to ignite in them that's going to turn their world upside down. We've got to be ready for when they come. Man, that's good preaching right there. Verse 18, and they all with one consent begin to make excuses. The first said unto him, I bought a piece of land, a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee have me excused. Another said, I bought 5 yoke of oxen, I need to go prove them. I pray thee have me excused. That's like saying, you know, I bought a tractor and I ain't even looked at it yet, but I bought it. Sight unseen, have no idea about it. You wouldn't do that. At least I hope you wouldn't. Another said, I've married a wife and therefore I cannot come. Which was, my understanding is, an old proverb basically that said, you know what, I'm just too busy to come. I just don't want to tell you why I can't be there. But nonetheless, so that servant came and shewed his lord these things. Then the master of the house went, being angry, said to his servant, go out quickly in the streets and the lanes of the city and bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou commandest, and yet there is room. Is there any vacant seats next to you? There's still room. There's still room. And if we run out of room, we'll make more room. Amen. There's still room. Verse 23, and the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and into the hedges and compel them to come in that my house may be filled. I believe that's the will of God. He wants his house filled. And so I would start looking at every empty chair is not an impossibility, but an opportunity. Not an impossibility, but an opportunity. In Jesus' name. So I submit to you today that we are not just a church for Farmington. Our vision must be bigger than that. I looked it up today. The population of Alcorn County as of 2024 was 34,228. 34,228. If you took every truth preaching church in Alcorn County, we've not even scratched the surface to reaching the population of our county. And we can't expect anybody else to have a burden for it if we who bear truth do not have a burden for it. So how do we reach them? Revival services, social media, regular services. Yes, these are all a part of reaching the lost. But I tell you today, just opening the doors and expecting people to come in is not the most effective manner of reaching souls. Now, I said this several years ago back when Jody Battle was still coming to church here. And I think it was the next Sunday, I said, you know, we can't expect just to open the doors and expect somebody that we've not invited to come. Well, next Sunday, a guy pulled up, and I think in a U-Haul, turned around back there and came into service. Nobody invited him. Jody Byer said, you said it wasn't going to. I'm not saying it can happen. I've seen it happen. I've seen the Spirit woo people and draw people, and they just walk in because, matter of fact, had somebody just a couple of weeks ago that on their visitor information who invited you and has a list of impromptu or spirit-led. Nobody invited her, but she was led by the pulling of the Holy Ghost. That is going to happen. But I'm going to tell you something. That is not the most effective means to reach our city. Personal evangelism is the most effective means of winning the lost. And notice what I say, and I underlined it on purpose this afternoon, amen, to make sure I brought attention to it. We are not just interested in church growth. We are interested in winning the lost. And there is a difference. There's a difference. Now, you know, you might as well just face it. It happens, sadly, but it happens. But sometimes you let the right last name go into a city, start a work, or take over church, and like floods of people leave other apostolic churches to go to that church because of the last name of that preacher. That's not the kind of harvest that God's looking for. We need to understand that personal evangelism, personal, not corporate evangelism, personal evangelism is the most effective means of reaching the lost and winning the lost. You know what that means? If we want to make a dent in the population of our county of getting them saved, we've got to take it personal and give them the gospel of Jesus Christ. We've got to take it personal. Now, throughout the day on Thursday and Friday of General Conference, Brother Bernard started this several years ago, and I'm very thankful for it. But there are sessions throughout the day, and there's a service in the afternoon as well. And I attended, on each day, I attended sessions. Went Thursday for sessions. Friday morning, by that time, I'll be honest with you, I was a little tired. But my wife and her sister were busy running Sister Bernard around for meetings from here to there to yonder and all this kind of stuff. And I thought, I'm tired. I really don't want to go to any sessions today. But I know if I don't, I'm going to sit in this hotel room and be bored out of my mind. So I'd rather go to a session that probably, because I looked at them and thought, none of them really I want interested in hearing, but I'm going to go anyway. And so I went. And the first session I sat in, I took more notes in that session than I did any other session or message that I sat under. I mean, it didn't take long. I was like, dear God, I'm so glad I didn't miss this. This is absolutely awesome. And so there's a couple of things I'm going to use tonight that I'm going to be honest with you. I got it from that class. Hey, we're still preaching the same thing Simon Peter preached, you know. So I'm going to need a little help tonight. He used this example, and I thought it was a very powerful example. But I need four adults to volunteer. Now, you're not going to have to do anything but get to where you need to go and stand there. I need four volunteers, four adult volunteers. Brother Helton, go to that corner. Brother Jamie, go to that corner. Brother Keaton, go to that corner. I saw Taylor. Go to that corner back there by that trash. Like you are. Now, he used animal crackers, and I was going to buy cookies today, or these crackers. Yeah, brother. Oh, he saw you. He sees food. That boy done got happy. Hey, and I'm going to tell you, didn't we have some of the cutest pictures on our Facebook page this week trying to get people to church? Henry, and I saw Hux. I don't know if there was any other kids, but I saw those two. That was just precious. And so when I went to for the podcast, so I went to Kroger today to buy these, and I thought, you know, he used animal crackers. I might need some Fig Newtons to snack on or something. I almost bought Fig Newtons, but then I remembered these are also things that I use for treats for my dog. So I killed two birds with one stone. Okay. All right. Caden, I told you I was going to need you. Come on up here. Now, Caden, we got four people. Now, I'm going to need somebody. Somebody got a stopwatch. Or on your phone, whatever. But Ethan, you got it. Okay. Now, I'm going to give you four cookies. Okay? Now, we're going to time you. Okay? So you need to give one cookie to each of these people that's in here, and you got to come back up here, and you'll start it, Brother Ethan, when I tell you to, and stop it when I tell you to. Okay, so you know the instructions. You'll give one to Brother Jamie, one to Brother Helton, one to Brother Taylor, one to Brother Keaton Melson. No, no, you can do it however you want to. You can go there to there to there to there, or however you want to do it. Okay? You ready? Okay. All right, Brother Ethan, start the time now. All right, you go. Oh, he's running. Oh, he just bypassed you, Brother Jamie. You've been running. Son, we've been finding a way to get you to run the aisles. We finally found it. Look at Jesus. All right, stop the timer. What's the time? I ain't got my glasses on. 25 seconds. All right, let's give, what's your name? Caden, a big hand clap. Good job, Caden. 25 seconds. Now, I need another volunteer. I need just one individual. Thank you, Addie. You're so awesome. I didn't say you had to run. Actually, no, 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 that's wrong. I need four volunteers. So thank you, Addie and Cadence. Thank you, Cody. Come on up here. Yeah, it's a great job. Sam, what are you laughing at? Come on up here. Okay, you're going to take a cookie. You're going to take a cookie. You're going to take a cookie. And you're going to take a cookie. Now, we're going to time this again. Now, here's the deal. You need, who are you going to go take a cookie to? Taylor, who are you going to take a cookie to? All right. Yeah, and that means you go to your dad. Okay. Okay, so when I say go, you're going to go take that cookie to the individual you just pointed out, and then you'll come back up here. Okay? Start the time now. Go. Sam, you really are slow. Okay, stop the time. So what was the time on this? Less than half the time to get the cookies this time. Thank you all very much. I would give you a cookie, but I gotta hate to save these for Slinky. So here's the moral of the story. I'll spill these if somebody don't give them to take them over there to Hucks. He'll have them all gone. Here's the moral of the story. It takes a lot longer to effectively reach people if only one person does it, rather than if we get a multitude of people involved, we get a lot more accomplished in a lot less time. Thank you, gentlemen. Y'all can be seated. That's the point that we're trying to make. If just one person is trying to reach 34,000 people, it's going to take a long time. But if the church will get involved, if the church will get involved, if you'll take a personal mandate and say, I am called to be an evangelist and reach our county, we can get a lot more accomplished in a lot less time. So here's what I'm saying. It's going to take a long time for one person to reach 34,000 people. But if we can get a lot of people involved, we can cover a lot more ground in a short amount of time. You can be seated. I'm going to tell you something. We don't have a lot of time left. We don't have a lot of time left. Somebody has got to take personal evangelism personal. Somebody's got to take personal evangelism personal. We are more effective when more people get involved. Matthew number 10, verses 1 through 8, when he called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out, to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Now the names of the 12 apostles are these, and he lists all the apostles. Verse number 5, these 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. But go And as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely you have received, freely give. But notice what he tells the disciples. He said, or the Bible says this, these 12 Jesus sent forth. What about just one disciples? Yeah, they could have made a dent. But he called all of his disciples and said, every one of you disciples, go. So you got to ask yourself a question. Am I a disciple of Jesus? Because exactly what he told them about going is exactly the same message he's preaching to his disciples today. We've got to go. We've got to go. We've got to go. This brother, Brother Wells from Florida, he used this example too. And I meant to pick Brother Ethan's brain before service, but I didn't. But let me read this to you. Luke chapter number 9, verses 12 through 17. And when the day began to wear away, then came the 12 and said unto him, send the multitude away that they may go into the towns and country round about and lodge and get victuals. For we are here in a desert place. But he said unto them, give ye them to eat. And they said, we have no more but 5 loaves and 2 fishes, except we should go and buy meat for all this people. For they were about 5,000 men, obviously not including the women and children. And he said to his disciples, make them sit down by 50s in a company. And they did so and made them all sit down. Then he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, and looking up to heaven, he blessed them and brake and gave to the disciples to set before the multitude. And they did eat and were filled and were taken up fragments that remained to them, 12 baskets. And this is the point that Brother Wells made. And he's an engineer, worked for NASA for 16 years. And him being an engineer maybe is one of the reasons why I want to talk to you. He said, as an engineer, it's all about systems. Systems. He said, when I read this story, he said, in all reality, that was not the best system to feed over 5,000 men, not including women and children. Let's just say 15,000 people. He said, really, that was not the most effective system to feed 15,000 people. He said, the best way to do it, and this is what I meant, was going to ask you, hey, how would you have done it without telling you where I was going? He said, the best, and you may agree or may not agree, he said, but the best system would have been for Jesus to, you know, break the bread, give it to them in baskets, and said, here, I'm going to stand here, and the crowd comes to me, or will come to you, and, you know, you just let them get a piece of bread and a piece of fish, let them go on about their way. He said, that would have been the most effective means, would you agree? To feed 15,000 people, almost like buffet style. And the disciples are just sitting there, nope, only one piece of bread. No, just one piece of fish. He said, that would have been the most effective means. He said, but what Jesus did, he's told to the disciples, he said, you tell them to sit down by 50s and you go to them. Don't have them come to you. If they're going to be fed, you've got to go to them. Church, again, the most effective means of evangelism and winning the lost is not just opening our doors and say, well, we believe Acts 2:38, the oneness of the Godhead, holiness and separation, open the doors and let them come. I wish it were that easy, but it's not. The most effective means is for us to go to them. And I've said it for years. I said it when I started pastoring Okmulgee. If we can't get them to church, we'll take church to them. Personal evangelism. And when you go witness to somebody you work with, you know what you're doing? You're going to them. When you witness to somebody at the grocery store, you know what you're doing? You're taking church to them and not asking them to come to church per se. You are taking church to them. And that is what I believe God wants us to do. He wants us to go to them. Now, we don't become like them to win them. We're not going to compromise the truth. We're not going to compromise the word. We're not going to compromise our morals. We're not going to compromise standards and principles. But you don't have to compromise to win people. Paul said, I've become all things to all men that I may but win some. That didn't mean he went and smoked dope with them. Brooke and I had to go to T-Mobile with Brooke the other day, and I'm having a conversation, and I was really interested in the guy's story. And he was, you could tell, you know, say what you want to say, but there are some people you can tell by their appearance what they are. It didn't take a brain scientist to know this guy is a heavy metal guy. I didn't know he was in a band, but I kind of figured he was. And I say this, they ought to be able to look at us and see who we are too. Don't go there, Brother Harmon. It's 2025. Guess what? I'll be preaching in 2026 too. I'll get ahead of the game. But nonetheless, I could look at him. You could just tell he was involved in that. You know what I started talking to? I said, yeah, man, I've got a cousin that's in a band. I called him by name, and I had to look him up on Facebook. I didn't know what the name of the band was, and said, here's the name of the band, Rough Dreams or whatever it is. He said, oh, man, yeah, we played with him about however many, a few years ago. You know what I was doing? I wasn't about to go to one of his concerts, but I'm building relationship with him. Having something that we can, I'm just showing genuine interest. Did I have a side game in mind? Yeah. I want to get the guy to church. Daddy told me this years ago, and I know it can be misconstrued and taken, you know, far off the deep end, but I, you know, to the pure, all things are pure. But he said, if people like you, they'll like your doctrine. If people like you, they'll like your doctrine. I want to be careful about what I say right now. I'll put it kind of, you can't be an egghead at work and expect to win people to God. You can't be rude and demeaning and think you're better than everybody else and expect to win your workplace. You'll never do it. If you do, it'll be a miracle. I guess God used a donkey, didn't he? What's your name? Livy, God used a donkey. I guess God can use some of our ignorance too. But the chances are not very good that if you act like an egghead at work that you're going to win somebody to God. So we must be wise. He that winneth souls is wise. I've said it before, you can't be a dingbat and be a soul winner. So yes, we're going to live holy, we're going to live righteous, we're going to love truth, but we ain't got to be dingbats about it. I'm on a roll tonight. There are some people that are. I'm fixing to. That are so holy in their own sight that when I see them at Walmart, I speak to them just to make them mad. Because I know they don't want to talk to me. I'm not holy enough for them. And so you know what? I do it. I'll be honest, I got a little Brother Chatwell in me. I do it just to be ornery. I was walking in Walmart the other day, and you can identify them because their nose is usually like this. If it rains, they're going to drown to death because their nose is so stuck up in the air. I was walking into Walmart. I said, praise the Lord, sisters. Oh, actually, we were in Branson, weren't we? Oh, yeah, I forgot. Anyhow. But I have seen them in local establishments. When I was at JCM, they had a big music conference every year. People would come all across the United States, this big music conference. And I worked at a department store at North Park Mall, I think was the name of it. And it was called McRae's. I worked in the shoe department. I didn't sell them. I stocked them. And, boy, you'd see them. They'd start coming in for conference. And, boy, some of them, they just thought, the world revolved around them. And I'm telling you, I'd see them plumb across the store. Praise the Lord! I did it just because I knew they were embarrassed, and you're going to act that way, I'm going to make you be embarrassed. So, we don't have to compromise who we are to love people and to win. You know what the Bible says? Love never faileth. Love never faileth. Matter of fact, and I'm not saying this Penrose on myself, and I'm not going to name names, but I text an individual just the other day, and I do occasionally, and I've never gotten a response back from them, but I will text them occasionally, letting them know, I love you, man. I'm praying for you. I believe in you. Had you on my mind. I've not got one response back yet. But you know what I believe? I believe love never fails. I believe love never fails. I believe that love can conquer everything. Hurts, trauma, whatever they face. I believe that love can work. And if we will genuinely love people and make it personal, it's my responsibility. Remember, this is not the church. We are the church. We are the church. We are the called out ones. Mark chapter 16, verse number 15. Got the landing gear down. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. What would happen if every one of us made this personal? I know I'm going to go ahead and let the cat out of the bag right now for 2026. I'm going to ask every person sometime in 2026 to bring at least one person to church in that year. Well, that went over like a flock of dogs. Brother Harmon, I'm too scared. That's why we're talking about courage this year. You got to conquer the fear. You got to conquer. That don't mean you got to go knock doors. That means God can intersect your life with somebody else at the right time, at the right moment, and it be a God thing. And the first words out of your mouth hadn't got to be, hey, I go to church at the Central Church, 293 County Road 218. We want you to come to church. It may be three or four visits later that you ever invite them to the house of God. But you know what you're doing? You're building relationship. You're winning them with love. You're letting them know that you care about them. And again, if people like you, they'll like your doctrine. Let's make sure we're likable people. Last example that I'm going to use, the last story that I'm going to use, Hux is getting angry at me. But he's still got his mind on those animal crackers. He's walking in faith right now. Or he's crying in faith anyway. But I said this, Brother Wells worked at NASA for 16 years. He told this story. And I don't know what year it was. He said, but NASA had a successful launch with about 250 people responsible. After the launch was successful, he said, I want you to raise your hand if you were responsible for making this launch successful. And there was about 250 people that raised their hand. He said, I'm calling for a meeting tonight at 8:30 for us to gather around the launching pad. And they could not understand why in the world will we be meeting tonight around the launching pad after a successful launch? What are we doing? But they gathered 250 people. Now, I'm using his words. I guess I should have Googled it to make sure it's right. But he said when he gathered all the people together, that the director pointed them to look into the sky, and he said, you see that blinking, I think he said red blinking light? He said, you see that up there? He said, you know what that is? Of course, they all knew what it was. It was Mars. I mean, these are intelligent people who work for NASA. He said, why are we making such an effort to go to Mars? He said, it's lifeless there. It's barren there. It's dry there. He said, but look where we are. I mean, we've got a launching pad. We've got a food court over here. We've got everything we need right here. So why are we trying to make an effort to go to Mars when what we need is right here? He said, so here's what I want you to do. He said, I want you to gather hands. So they all 250 people, they gathered hands. He said, now I want you to look up to Mars. He said, I want you to shout this up to Mars. Mars, come to me. They held hands and they shouted when they were told to. Mars, come to me. He said, guess what? Obviously, nothing happened. He said, and that's what we do on Sundays. We open the doors and we say, church, come to us. when the reality is God is calling us to break out of our comfort zones and realize just opening the doors is not good enough. We must go to them. Can you say amen? Amen. Let's stand together tonight. Praise God. Praise God. We must go. You know why? Because we are the church. We are the church. And I think we ought to take the great commission that God gave to his disciples and to the church very seriously. If you really believe this message, if you really believe the message, you cannot be satisfied with coming and it being us 80 and no more. If we really love the message, if we really love souls, if we really care about people, I don't want people to die lost. I don't want them going to hell. I don't mean music tonight. I don't want them going to hell. And you've heard me tell this story, but Brother J.T. Pugh preached a message years ago. He's dead and gone now. But any message you can hear, listen to from J.T. Pugh, I would encourage you to do so. Read any book that he wrote. Matter of fact, there's one book he wrote that I can't get past the first chapter because it's too deep for me. The Wisdom and Power of the Cross. I've got it, but it's just too deep for me. But he preached to his church, and I think he pastored in Amarillo, I think, Texas. He preached that Sunday morning, what will make hell worse than hell? He said, the only thing that will make hell worse than hell is knowing that standing beside you in hell is knowing you were responsible for helping get that person there. He came back that Sunday night and preached a message, what will make heaven better than heaven? He said, the only thing that will make heaven better than heaven is to know that I've got somebody standing next to me that I helped get there. Hide it under a bushel? No. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Let's take it personal. Let's take it personal. Every person, if you're Holy Ghost filled, baptized in Jesus' name, you must take evangelism personal. Jesus, I thank you for your word tonight. I pray and believe something has been said to inspire, to edify, to challenge, and to convict us all tonight. I pray, God, that you would prick our hearts. I pray, God, that you would help us to become uncomfortable with being comfortable. I pray that we would never be satisfied with just coming for good music, good preaching, good services, while there is a world that's still lost without you. God, you've placed us in this county to be a light and to be a witness. You have placed us wherever people work at, you have placed them there, whether temporarily or they've been there for years. God, you've placed them there, not just to get a paycheck, but it could be a spiritual moment or a reason why that you've put them there for this time and for this season. Help us, God, to take it seriously and not be consumed with self, but help us to get our eyes on the harvest. I pray this now in Jesus' name. Talk to us. Help us to get over fear. Help us to rise up with the courage that you've called us to walk in. I pray this now and everybody say in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. I love you. Thank you for being at service tonight. Remember, Hyphen will be at the Green Market this Saturday. And then Church Sunday, we're going to have a great time. And then the youth yard sale. If you're planning on bringing stuff for the youth yard sale, if you could let the Johnsons know tonight. You don't have to tell them all of what you're bringing, but just let them know you're going to be bringing stuff. Shake hands, be friendly. We love you. Thank you for being here tonight. You're dismissed.